Well, it's always better felt than told. I guess you could say it like that. You know, you really, sometimes I understand, I'm by myself. Sometimes you don't feel, you don't get into it, and then you wonder, you know, it almost makes you, you know, where are they getting all that energy? Well, I've been into it a few times. And I tell you what, I'm telling you this, you better get it while you can. That's right. Don't let nobody, you know, and I know you that are there, if you've ever felt it, you're sitting there thinking, boy, they're getting blessed and I'm glad and I can't wait till I get blessed myself. How many knows what it's like to be blessed with the Holy Ghost? And these young people responding spontaneously to the move of the Spirit, that's almost a thing of the past. That's right. You won't see that in a vast majority of the churches. You won't see the spontaneous move of the Holy Ghost and people yielding, amen, to the Holy Ghost. You won't see that. And I appreciate it. I do. I appreciate it tonight. I appreciate God being mindful of us and visiting us. You see, we come to church. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling yourselves together so much the more as you see the day approaching. And that leads me to believe that there's something in the house of God that'll keep you in that wicked day. And so we come tonight and you know, we can't order the service. We can't, I don't even know what helps you. I don't know if you need preaching, singing, praying, if we ought to anoint you with oil. You just don't know. You've just got to follow the leading of the Spirit. And in my 28 years of being in church, I found out that you're always so much farther ahead by just obeying the Spirit of the Lord. Can you say amen? And so I appreciate obeying the Spirit of the Lord tonight. And I love preaching. I was raised on preaching. I as a young man getting saved, the preaching of the gospel was highly esteemed. And it is so crucial and critical, because if you don't worship in spirit and in truth, then you're lopsided, and you're not going to get the job done. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, anybody else want to testify before we read the scripture here? We won't preach a long time here tonight. I just want you to look. Now, you'd have to be on the inside of me looking out to know how the Lord moves, Brother Mike. And now, when I'm home and seeking the Lord about the service, I can just about tell you when the pulpit is going to be the prominent part of the service. I can just about tell you. And there's times I've come and I felt like the pulpit was not going to be, and y'all didn't cooperate, and it ended up having to be. And that makes it tough on me and you both. Hallelujah. But I just feel today, I was troubled today. Y'all listen to me just a minute, and I'll let you go. I was troubled. I had a wonderful opportunity, Sister Leanne. Where are you at? I had a wonderful opportunity for a nap today, but I couldn't sleep. I should have. I was bone tired and hadn't slept. I doubt if I slept 10 hours all week long. I should have slept, but I didn't. I couldn't. I was troubled and walking the floor, and you say, well, don't depress us. I'm not trying to depress you. I'm just going to tell you. Amen. The Lord is faithful and mindful for us in this service here tonight. We need this. We need church. We need one another. So many times people come and they have an agenda. They have something they want to see happen in the service. But you need to turn that over to the Lord. He knows what you need. Turn to the book of Nehemiah tonight. Real briefly, let me just mention this. Do you know where most likely revival will start? Is this on? Can y'all hear me? Do y'all know most likely where revival will start? Anybody want to be bold enough to? I've already heard two meek answers. There's a third answer, and all of them's been the same so far. Revival will most likely start with one individual. I want you to look at this, and then I'm going to back up and show you. Look at Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15. I just want to read you this verse here. It said, so the wall was finished. Y'all see that? So the wall was finished. Finished product. In the 25th day of the month, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Now, I just read to you the finished product, but I want to turn over to Nehemiah chapter 1. Let's just read the first verse. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakalah, and it came to pass in the month of Shelua, or something, in the 20th year, and it was Shushan the palace. I was in Shushan the palace, in the palace. One of my brethren came, he and certain men of Judah. I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant that are left of the captivity or in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. That is the condition of your brethren. You wanted to know? That's where it's at. That is the report, the negative report. The walls are down, the gates are burned. We can't come to church hardly without seeing the problem, can we? There's folks in here tonight, no doubt. That's why the service is so critical. What we're doing is so critical. I've been going, some preaching, the calls I've been getting, has been churches that are on the verge of splitting, breaking up. People in the churches hating each other, talking about each other, slandering one another. And folks are in need and wanting a solace, wanting a revival, wanting a balm, wanting a healing to salvage the church. That's where I'm going tomorrow. Brother Collins' church there has been, as long as I can remember, the Highway of Holiness Church. It split this year right down the middle. Now I know that's a sad thing to say, and I wish that I didn't have to say that. But that's what happened. Probably, I guess, I could say it split that way. It looked to me like just gone their way. So I'm going to go in there, and I'll just be honest with you. I don't want to go. I hate to leave my little one. I don't have a message, and I'm bone tired. But there's something in me that God put in there. If I can help, I'm going to try to help. And I'm honest with you. I don't know what I'm going to say when I get there. But here's the report, Brother Mike. And I wish it was better. You know what I thought? I thought about the year me and you and Robert and Noah went to Bristow. It was better then. We had a blast. We sat in the back. Remember? I loved it. Don't get me wrong. But I went out there. They didn't know who we were. I hadn't been there in years and years and years. And we just sat back there in that crowd of 2,000 people. Had a wonderful time. Heard preaching. I thought of that the other day when I was praying about so many problems. And I thought, boy, that was a good trip. Huh? Brother Noah in there buying Sister Rita them dead cats for souvenir. Where is Brother Noah? Oh, you're here. I thought you might have slipped out. I'd have never told that on you. Huh? You still got them dead cats, Sister Rita? Oh, I love that. He went up and told the lady at the souvenir shop his wife collected cats. And the lady looked at him kind of strange. And he said, you know, dead cats. And she really looked at him strange, Brother Mike. Then, of course, we all did too, from down behind the counter where we was hiding. I'm telling you, it really was a great trip. That's right. That's like the operator asked Brother Robert, you don't mind if I tell it, do you? Huh? The operator asked Brother Robert, I heard him talking on the phone. The operator comes on and says, how will you pay? And he couldn't hear him being an elder, Brother Michael. He thought she said, how are you today? And I heard him say, I'm doing just fine. How are you doing? I'm telling you, it was a real good trip, wasn't it? Huh? I'm telling you, the Lord blessed. I think I ended up having to preach, if you remember. If I'm not mistaken, I preached on the sound of joyful sound. The joyful sound. I mean, I was just positive, upbeat, and I was shouting, and people got so encouraged and blessed, and I was telling them about how the Lord has saved people and come to us, and how that good news from a far country is like cold waters to the thirsty soul. Boy, God anointed me like shouting myself plumb out. God has been good to us. There is joy. Huh? But we're in it now, aren't we? But I want to tell you something. It said the wall is finished. But that's not where this story started. It started in the first chapter when one man in the palace got a burden for those in prison. Now, I'm not going to preach tonight, but I want you to notice how this affected Nehemiah. And I wonder about our hearts tonight. I wonder if our hearts are tender enough to be affected. Says Jeremiah said it like this, Brother Tim, if I could build a fire under, what a blessed church we have. And I know it don't take me. I know that more all the time. But if we could build a fire under these young people we've got here, these young men and women, these young couples, and these young people. And Jeremiah said, my heart affecteth my eye. You understand what he said? And my eye affected my... In other words, what I know and what I feel is causing tears. I wonder if we're affected that deeply tonight. Ezekiel said, take and mark those who sigh and those who cry. Those who are under the load, under the burden. Are you listening to me? I thought they're singers and we're getting older together, but I thought as he came up here tonight and take that guitar and Brother Mike... I'll tell you what, he's had to work these shifts, and I appreciate Brother Robert jumping in on Sunday morning and helping me. I can't hardly lead the singing, and I'll tell you a good proof of it, because nobody hardly follows me. That just tells me I'm not leading all that hot, because they don't follow. I appreciate these that'll get a guitar and go to the platform. Now listen to me. And labor. We've got a job that needs done. And we can't just get in and say, let's do it. We've got to have this burden. Huh? We've got to have this concern. This man in the palace, he had it made. But did he really? He was in a foreign country. And actually, in a sense, captive. He was in the palace. But his heart, he kept inquiring. How are things? You know what an ostrich does? He puts his head in the sand. If danger comes, instead of confronting it, and you know, how many of you, and don't raise your hand, because it may have been even me, when you see me coming, you're afraid to say, how are you doing? Well, since you ask, have you got an hour? And we just want to we see somebody coming, we just want to. But really, church, we're going to have a bigger heart. That's right. This morning, Sister Ethel, my children are close to me anyway, and dealing with my own and raising my own and understanding the hurts that comes in the kids' lives and the pressures, the devil. I'm going to preach a message one of these days on why the devil hates children. He hates them. Always have. And I'm telling you, sometimes I think we block things out to keep from having to deal with them. But brother and sister, that's not what Jesus did. He was a tender heart. The Bible said that he was so tender that a bruised reed he would not break and a smoking flax he would not quench. Now, smoking flax, Brother Tommy, is almost out. But Jesus was so gentle. He could nurture that and blow and nurture till that flamed up again. How many thinks the gospel is for building and restoring? That's why Jesus said, the scripture said, he came not into the world to condemn the world. It's not the dispensation of condemnation. Do you understand what he's saying? I didn't come to the world to bring final judgment upon this world. It's not that time. He said, I come to bring life. The gospel is not an axe. Do you understand? It's not. It's not to burn down. The gospel is that river that runs through, and everything it touches comes alive. Can you say amen? Oh, I wish I could talk to you tonight about this. Revival must start somewhere. And most of the time, it is kindled in the life of one man or one woman, boy or girl. There ain't one of us in here. And I'm telling you, I've seen it happen. And sometimes it happens so subtly and so gradually that it changes in a way. Are you listening to me? It changes in a way sometimes that you can't really even mark the date when it happened. But here it is. Somebody that was a man here, and all of a sudden, through prayer and revival and spiritual services, now they're a benefit and a help and a support. Can you say amen? So Nehemiah got the message, and you know, he could have said, well, that's too bad. But he didn't say that. Listen to this. And it said, it came to pass when I heard these words. Are you listening? What makes us cry anymore? Huh? What makes us cry? Huh? You watch a little one and Brother Darrell, they'll get something at McDonald's Happy Meal window. Can't get it together. You know, of course, they got to get it open right there in the dark going down the road. Can't wait, you know, throw the cheeseburger out the windows and the fries in the floor. Give me that toy. Oh, I've got one just like this. And I can't get the head on the body. And it's huh? And that's okay for a kid. But you know, sometimes I see adults, they just can't get what they want and they cry. What makes us cry? You remember when the prophet of God went up and the king was sick, and he sensed as he went up to pray for the king that there was a plot against the king. And he realized in his spirit that the king was going to die, that they were going to see to it. He wasn't going to die of the sickness. The man of God saw this. And he was going to kill him. He was going to murder him. And this man of God saw this plot. And you know what he did? He sat down and cried, and the king looked at him and said, why weepest thou, man of God? But you know what? I don't even see the men of God weeping anymore. We're not going to see the wall finished till we've tried tears. You didn't get it, did you? You didn't get it. If I was a better man, I could get it to you, but I can't, I haven't, I'm trying. And the wall was finished in 52 days, but it didn't come without some tears. And it ain't going to come. Jesus Jesus looked over Jerusalem and he wept. And that word wept, I was reading a study the other day, and that word is a different word than the word where he wept with Mary and Martha at Lazarus' tomb. That word there, him weeping along with them, was not near severe. When he looked over at lost Jerusalem, that word weep means he broke down and sobbed. And if it makes Jesus cry, it ought to make us cry. I look at this world, and it does make you sick. See these little kids and with their clothes, and they've got the new styles where little girls wear their pants so low down and their shirts so short. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth. And it's a style. It was on the front page of the USA Today, and it had a picture of a young teenage girl in that look. And you know what the headlines call it? It says, "Why is our teens adapting the hooker look?" That's what the USA Today papers called it. And that's really what it is. And a little old girl today, you can't help but notice, God forbid, it would gawk. One little girl had a T-shirt on at the playground the other day, said, "Thanks for staring." It's crazy, isn't it? Come on now. Little old girls, today I seen that little old skinny girl, white as cotton, showing her body off, had her body, had all kinds of jewelry in her navel and in different places. And I'm telling you, our society says, well, that's just young people, but it's getting more and more and more and more outlandish. And you say, well, brother, I can't hardly stand it. And I can't. But I'll tell you what it ought to make the church do. It ought to make the church weep. Because that's some mother's little girl, no doubt. That little girl's parents never did go to church, so they don't know nothing about taking her to church. Are you listening to me? We need a revival, and it's going to start with tears. Does anybody believe this? I'm not going to preach long tonight, but it says, he said, "I sat down and wept and mourned and fasted and prayed." We'll never have a revival. Oh, God. We'll never have a revival in tear. We've tried tears, fasting, and praying. Can you say amen? And now I want you to notice. "And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord of heaven," he prayed, "the terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy and observe his command. Let thine ear be attentive to thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee day and night for the children of Israel, thy servant. Confess the sins of the children of Israel. We have sinned against thee. I and my father's house have sinned. We've dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments and the statutes, the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses." How many knows that a revival will not only be weeping, praying, and fasting, but returning to the commandments of the Lord? See, a revival is not just getting people to join your church. It's getting people loose from their sins. Forgiven, set free, delivered, changed. Can you say amen? We need it right here tonight. I'm going to get some people to volunteer to help us get a revival started. "I beseech thee the word that thou commandest the servant Moses. If you transgress, I'll scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn to me," you see what Nehemiah's doing? He's bringing God back to his promise. "I've scattered you because you sinned. But if you return to me, keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out in the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place I've chosen to set my name. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thy ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of the servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Now what's he asking for? He's praying that God will send him back to Jerusalem to get the job started. We need a revival. Need it bad. Praise God. Everybody tonight that would like to be the Nehemiah. And let revival start with you. I want you to stand with me. Let it start with me. You know what that means? That means you may have to leave your place of comfort. And he got, Brother Deskins, he went to Jerusalem. He went out at night. He got him an animal. And he got on his horse or whatever. And he rode through the town, through the city. He saw all the destruction. Talmadge did the same thing. He went at night down through the city that he pastored in. And he saw the debauchery and the sin and the wickedness. And he came back to his church the next Sunday. He did that for several weeks on end. He'd go down into the city. He'd see what was going on. He'd come back to his church and he'd preach against it. And he'd tell people what they needed. I want to know, have we got our head in the sand? We don't want to hear no more bad news. We don't want to hear no more sin. We don't want to hear. But it's right here. We need a revival. How many knows that the devil has to be cast out? Some people can't get to the Lord till the devil's cast out. They can't cast him out themselves. They've got to have a praying church. Can you say amen? I want us to pray some tonight. I hope I haven't wearied you with my remarks, but I feel like revival always starts. You've got Nehemiah and Gideon and David and all these individuals that God moved on and started revival. It could start right here in the choir, one of these young people. Brother Mark was laying on his face here. I remember when I first got the Holy Ghost, the Lord would flop me over on my face. And I'd shout all my change and money out every night, what little few coins I had. And don't you think I didn't go and collect it all when it was over too. And got my keys, that's right. And usually it seemed like I had more when I left out than when I went in. Praise, I don't know how that happened. But I got all the change and put it back because I needed gas the next day to go to work. But I'm going to tell you this. That's what made me a serious Christian. And it'll work for all of us. I want us to pray. I want all you Nehemiahs to pray and come. Let's start with tears, prayer, fasting, returning, and let's have a revival. God bless you. Let's pray a while tonight. Everybody come and join us in prayer.